1-800-876-5432. Good afternoon, world. It's the Zentech Radio Show here on KVMR FM, Nevada City. It's 101 and 56 seconds Pacific Standard Time in beautiful sunny California up here in the Sierra foothills. Your community radio station in Nevada City, broadcasting from high atop Banner Mountain. Good afternoon, my friend Glenn.
Good afternoon, my friend Paul. How are you?
Good, thanks. We've been away for a couple of weeks, and the last show, I would like to thank Mikhail Graham for doing and standing in for me, because I was roaming on the way down to Yosemite with my good family friends from the United Kingdom.
You were even able to listen to that show, weren't you? A little bit.
Yep, it was archived, and we've got it up on the website. Go to zen.kvmr.org/archive, and you'll see it there. You're looking over here in a puzzled way, Glenn.
Oh, I'm just looking at the meter levels. We need to adjust a little bit there and a little bit there.
That's because I'm the digital guy, so it either works or it doesn't, but Glenn's the analog guy, like it works better if you do it that way.
Not necessarily better, just a little bit different. So, welcome back. I appreciate your arranging last week, two weeks ago, to have Mikhail come in while you were gone, and I'm glad that you had a good time. I know you had some friends over from England that you've known for a long, long time.
Yeah, way back, more than 20 years. So if you're listening out there in the UK, we told them we'd be doing this, and they can listen from, I think it's, I did a little calculation somewhere on a website that tells me, we have listeners over 4,000 miles away, and their names are Jan and Alex and Poppy and Katie and Tim and Sophie. So if you're listening, I know you had a good time. Come back and see us again real soon. I really enjoyed it. That was my mini vacation for 2 weeks, running around all over this beautiful state.
And Poppy, Katie, and Sophie, leave Tim alone. When you told me that this little boy had three older sisters, I'm like, oh, the poor kid. But let's get down to business. We do want to let you know that we are also broadcasting on translator ID K286AN, Truckee 105.1 in the Truckee, Tahoe, Donner area. And we have this afternoon's community calendar. And it is underwritten in part by the Wooden Spoon Kitchenware Store, a toy store for cooks. The Wooden Spoon has served Nevada County for over 20 years. Their newly expanded store is in the Fowler Center at 12066 Nevada City Highway in Grass Valley, 530-272-8980.
This week at the Center for the Arts downtown Grass Valley, Friday, Airlined Live and Aerial Dance Group presents a live show featuring acrobatics, dance, martial arts, drumming, and aerial works at 8 p.m. Love the sound of that. And on Saturday, the Nevada County Poetry Series presents cowboy poets Daryl Knight, Dave Fisher, and Tony Argento at 7:30 p.m., with an open mic included. The number for information is 530-274-8384.
And playing this week at Cooper's in downtown Nevada City, tonight, Monday, George Kuo, Marin Pahinui, and Aaron Mahi, slack key guitarist from Hawaii. Tuesday night will be a live open mic night, and then featuring Wednesday, Hayfax, Thursday, Global Warning, Friday, Mystifia, Saturday, the special night of cover songs. Information can be found at coopersnevadacity.com.
Gadflies Wanted. If you shop locally, attend street fairs and community events, then join KVMR's Celtic Festival Street Team. We'll send you a selection of postcards, flyers, brochures, and bookmarks. Keep them in your car and pass them around whenever you're out on the town. We'll especially need street team members in Roseville, Chico, Placerville, Tahoe, Lincoln, Davis, and Sacramento. Email Celtvol, C-E-L-T-V-O-L, at kvmr.org or phone the office here, 530-470-8483. Excuse me, that's not the office. The number is 470-8483 for Celtic Festival organizers.
Okay. The 17th annual Sierra Brewfest is this Saturday from 3 to 6:30 p.m. at the Nevada County Fairgrounds. Music by the Gold Shot Band, plus a variety of food vendors. Information can be found at Music in the Mountains Benefit. Call 530-265-6124.
Coopers and Kani Kapila present an evening of Hawaiian slack key guitar and song on Monday. That's August the 14th, featuring, and they're going to make me do it too, George Kuo, Marin Painui, and Aaron Mai. Did I do better with that one?
You did, but that's a duplicate.
Kind of a duplicate, yeah. I've got one standalone card.
Okay, well, let's just pull that one out, because we don't need to have that one hanging around.
So it's true both times?
Yes.
All righty. The Jam Grass stylings of Blue Turtle Seduction are featured at the Grass Valley Friday Night Farmers Market and Street Festival. This is an art, craft, health food fair on Mill and Main Streets in downtown Grass Valley, 6 to 9 p.m., 265-9495.
The next film in the Social Forum film series The Take shows Tuesday evening at 7:35 at the Magic Theater in Nevada City.
short one. Inspirational healing arts singer-songwriter Melissa Philippe performs at the Banner Grange in Grass Valley on Sunday at 7 p.m. More information to be found at 274-1018.
Nevada City Meltdown, a concert featuring Sal Rao and Cochino Del Mundo and the Blue Turtle Seduction will be this Friday, 8 p.m. at the Miners Foundry in Nevada City. For information, you can go to minersfoundry.org.
The Neighborhood Center of the Arts in Grass Valley presents Alphabet Soup, an exhibition featuring text in art, commencing this Thursday with an evening reception from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The gallery exhibition will be on display until October the 6th.
If you haven't been to one of those exhibitions, I've been over there a couple of times, and some really wonderful artwork and some great people that you can meet over there also.
Is it all Latin or Roman text? It's all to do with exhibiting text from our alphabets, right?
I guess.
Yeah, I remember as a kid loving alphabet soup. Do you remember that stuff?
I do.
Yeah, it's got little spaghetti pieces shaped like letters of the alphabet. I used to line them up on the plate, and by the time I'd finished, they were cold, so I didn't want to eat them.
Yeah, cold noodles. Noodles are not any good. Were they the same letters over there in England as we have here?
I'm afraid so. The Z was still written Z, although it's Z over there. Oh, it still looks the same, okay?
The KVMR's community calendar airs weekdays at 6:30 a.m., weekends at 7:30 a.m., and every day at 1 and 5:30 p.m. To list your entertainment event or fundraiser on the community calendar, send the details at least 2 weeks in advance to psa@kvmr.org. The calendar is a public service of KVMR.
That's what we do every week as a signature for our show. Excuse me, every other week as a signature for our show, which is we play a little bit of Brian Eno and his recursive music to remind you that it's all things technical, as Eno is an exponent of creative works done on computers. And Glenn's pointing, and I don't know American Sign Language or even any other sort. What a rapport we have.
You can have one and I'll take the other as far as the
sounds
for this
totally excellent
hour.
I can almost understand that. It's Ohmsoft, isn't that right, my friend?
Ohmsoft.
Ohmsoft Technologies is an underwriter in part for the following hour of broadcasting here on KVMR, pronounced Ohmsoft. They provide local internet solutions for home and office from Sacramento to Truckee, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or ohmsoft.com. Ohmsoft, the enlightened internet solution.
And also thanks go out to Cooper's Nevada City, presenting a night of Hawaiian music tonight. They're underwriting this hour. That's great. Featuring George Kuo, Martin Pahinui, and Aaron Mahi. Wednesday, it's Americana Rock and Folk with Hayfax and the Chillbillies. Cooper's, 235 Commercial Street, and coopersnevadacity.com. So our thanks out to you, and thanks out to all of our regular listener supporters who underwrite every hour of programming here at KVMR. Thank you.
Yeah, the phones are ringing. Do we want to do them first?
We'll
do them and we'll do our homework and we'll have fun.
Take the phone call?
Why not? Now, you've got the control system for the Carmelix. Let's see what you can do with it.
So let's see what we do here. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on the air. Hi.
I'm hearing somebody knocking there. I'm looking on the sliders up here. You know, try that.
Okay.
Go
hi,
right
caller,
ahead.
You are live on the air. Hi.
I've got the mixers right up for the caller. Do we need to switch? This is the one show we can draw attention to the activities that are happening here. Everything's as it should be.
Huh.
It would be really nice if we had call-ins for the show, because that's what the technology is supposed to do.
You know what? I didn't push the right button, so let me figure this out.
I'll keep jamming.
You know what? I didn't. I haven't used the computer for so long. Now you're on the air, caller. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. We got you. Sorry
excellent.
About that.
You got me?
You got you.
I got something obvious.
What's that?
Okay, here it is. What is your house like inside? Very nice, the man said, but there's no sunshine in it. Is there no sunshine anywhere near you? Yes, the garden has plenty. Then why don't you move the house into the garden?
I love it.
I love it, too.
Did you have anything for us here at Zentech?
Actually, I just called. I wasn't listening to the radio, and you guys came, so I'm just I'm doing.
Well, we've got a computer and technology show going on.
I see.
And we appreciate your poetry. When do we have poetry here? It's on Monday
Sunday.
Nights, I think. Oh, it's Sundays now.
Yeah, see, I haven't got a recent program guide.
Uh-huh.
But I can work that out.
Whereabouts do you live? Because you can usually pick one up out in the community, and we do have our new one that goes September and October now.
I'm in Sacramento.
Okay, Natural Foods Co-op has one there.
Okay.
Dimple Records might.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of any other place right off the bat. But
I know what I can do. I'll just call the office and have them send me one.
That'll work too. Yeah, thanks for
calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See
now. You. Let's take this next call, who is live on the air now. Hi, caller.
Go right ahead. It's you.
Hi, we only have one person out there, so we're talking to you.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey.
Paul.
Yeah, he's Paul.
Okay. Hey, I have a bit of information and a question, and hopefully the information will be a little more pertinent than the first caller, although I enjoyed that.
Me too.
I know a couple of times I've listened, and there have been questions about how to get high-speed internet service, short of generally satellite being the only option in places without cable.
Mm-hmm.
And down where I am, there is a land-based wireless service that broadcasts from an antenna,
mm-hmm.
but you have to have a line of sight to the antenna.
Right. And so, where is your location, please?
Well, I'm down around Vacaville.
Oh, okay.
In the hills, and I don't have a line of sight to the antenna. However, a neighbor does,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to get a wireless bridge from her house to mine. And I don't know if anybody up in your area, Nevada County, has land-based wireless.
There are. Vacaville has got hills, but we've got some pretty severe trees and bumps in the terrain, which
right.
makes life
right.
a little difficult.
Yeah, when you say Vacaville, I think of those barren brown hills. And you know.
Right.
Nice rolling hills without pointy trees on them makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can put up with a little bit of foliage, but basically it's an option for people to, if they do have a neighbor that has wireless or any kind of high-speed service.
Mm-hmm. Oh, certainly.
They can get what's called a wireless bridge. Basically, it'd be like a wireless router in your home and in their home, and instead of a wire connecting the two, you have directional antennas.
So that's not bad going if you're actually picking up. Are you picking us up over FM in Vacaville, or are you listening on the web?
FM. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's not
yeah.
bad, so that's a pretty good reach of the signal then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get down here, but at any rate, that was just a suggestion. If people have that option, a line of sight to a neighbor or to someone with that, you can go in with them. In my case, I'm doing it with a neighbor, and we're splitting the cost 50-50.
Well, and then let me make another recommendation. Is this neighbor, is she picking up the line of sight to the internet provider?
Yeah, right.
And
that's
do you have other neighbors that she might be able to broadcast down to? Because she might be able to go to that internet provider and say, hey, you want to put a little transmitter on my site?
Yeah.
And then
she'd get
broadcast further down, because we do have somebody here at the radio station who was approached one day by a company, and she contacted Paul and I and said, hey, is this legit? And it sure was. So she has free internet for a little unit being on her back porch that looks down at Lake Wildwood.
Yeah, well, that kind of thing is it helps everybody out.
Yes.
In this case, I initially assumed that the wireless provider would not want other people sucking off of this one connection, at least without charging an extra fee. But they said, no problem. The neighbor's normal $50 a month fee includes up to four connections.
Okay.
And he said they don't care if it's in her house or four connections to neighbors. So.
Yeah, what they'll do is they should control the bandwidth so she can do anything she likes with it. But when it's gone, it's gone.
Right.
So that will often happen. Incidentally, it came up with a caller in this area about a month ago. How do you know if you can get wireless? And the answer is you wander around the place with a laptop with a wireless card in it and see what you can pick up.
Right.
How did you find out? Just because you knew that your neighbor had this?
Yeah, the neighbor, that's the other thing. The neighbor, if you're going to make this kind of arrangement, make sure the neighbor's a reliable, good friend. That
right.
Get mad at you and cut you off or something. But
now, are you happy with the service?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's well, my only other option was ground or satellite, and it's vastly faster than it.
So you must be some way out of town if you can't get DSL. Would that be true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Out
all right.
The country.
Okay.
So anyway, then I get to the question.
Mm-hmm.
There's one problem which is sporadic. I can't find any pattern to it. But there is, when using a phone line like the line I'm on right now,
mm-hmm.
there will occasionally be a kind of sound, kind of like an aquarium bubbling in the background, which seems to relate to modem activity, wireless activity. Although there's no phone line connected to the computer. I assume it's some sort of magnetic field.
Okay, here's what's going on. See if I can imitate it. Is it that noise like that?
Well, kind of like that.
Yeah, okay. What's happening is you've probably got a cordless phone. Does that sound right?
Nope. It's all wired.
You don't. Interesting.
Yeah.
You're getting, let's think what's going on here, but your internet itself, what's probably happening is the signals from the wireless internet are getting onto the phone lines.
Just by induction or something.
That's correct. What it means is that the phone lines are unbalanced in some way, so one of the pair is longer than the other by miswiring or whatever. You may be able to deal with it that way. The other thing you can do is there's certain types of filters you can put in the way that may stop it. But they have to be aimed specifically at 2.4 gigahertz, which is the frequency of the wireless typically, and sometimes 900 megahertz.
A filter to put in the phone line.
In the phone line to keep the wireless signals off the phone line.
Okay.
The other thing that will happen is a better grade of phone might stop it, because a lot of phones now made in the last year or two are familiar with this type of interference and are designed to have filters in circuit with them.
What if you had the 5.8 gigahertz phone? Would that solve the problem?
In his case, he said he doesn't have cordless phones.
Oh, okay.
It's getting onto
the wire
regardless.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd look into some sort of filter that would go between the in-the-ground phone cable at the point of entry to the house?
Probably inside the house, because it's being inducted onto the wiring inside the house. It's probably balanced up to your house, and then there's something that's asymmetric inside the house, which results in an unbalanced signal getting onto the wires. I'm guessing.
I gotcha.
Fancy words there. I hope I'm right.
Yeah, well, I was hoping it would do it while I was talking here, but it sounds perfectly clean on my end.
That's because you're talking to us. All you got to do is talk to us.
And you are on dial-up on the other line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So apparently you fixed it. So
well, that's good. I hope it stays that way.
We're good at that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Thanks for calling
anyway,
in.
Anyway, the source for the wireless bridge was that I used was Radio Labs, although there are others. So.
Is that radiolabs.com? I'd guess.
Yeah.
Okay then.
Yeah. Okay. Hope that helps.
Thanks a lot for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye
from
now.
Quite a long way afield, from Vacaville.
Most
that's over 100 miles away.
Yep. We get you loud and clear.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. And let's go to our next caller that's been waiting very patiently. Hi, caller. You're live on the air.
Hi, I don't have any questions, but I just wanted to reply to that man. He mentioned that is there a land-based system up here, and there is. It's called Smarter Broadband.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of that one?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
That's Adam Brodell.
And he's out of the Auburn area, I believe.
Okay.
And then I can't remember the name of the company that broadcasts off the back porch of our friend down into Lake Wildwood. That's a different company altogether.
Yeah, now Adam's company is smarterbroadband.com, and you can go there. And I think he's got one access point, so you must be perhaps a subscriber of his?
Well, unfortunately, by a month I missed it because he didn't have the system up and going, and I had to go, so I went with satellite.
All right.
But I would definitely check out Smarter Broadband if people in the county are interested.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
we appreciate your input.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. What was the equipment that fellow said he was using, radio?
Radio Labs.
Labs.
And I'm just getting connected up here. I think he said yes to radiolabs.com.
Okay.
Oh, I haven't turned my wireless on here. We're going all wireless, and we used to have a lot of trouble in the studio here because of all the equipment, and we ended up having to put a wireless router much closer. They're supposed to go up to 300 feet, except when you've got a lot of wireless noise, which is exactly what's happening in the studio because there's a bunch of gear in here.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed a stronger signal to overcome that lot. Luckily, it doesn't break through onto our gear here. I have got, there's a blank in the calls, and I have some little bits of homework. It's the IBM PC's silver anniversary. It was launched in 82 or 83, 25 years ago, made from non-proprietary parts. IBM was and is the world's biggest proprietary chip maker. They make specialized chips that go into God knows what, just about everything under the sun. Typically, originally, business machines, mainframes and whatnot. And in 82 or 83, they hired a skunk works of design engineers to make a PC out of basically off-the-shelf chips, later to become known as the IBM personal computer. There's some confusion here because the term personal computer has been around for a long time, and it never specifically referred to this thing by IBM, but the two things became inextricably tied together as the IBM PC. For example, the original Apple Macintosh was known as, rather confusing, as Apple PC, meaning an Apple personal computer. So that term has gone away. People will laugh about where Apple were at the same time as the ubiquitous IBM PC was born in 1982, but there's the fact of the matter. For $1,500 and a 10-gigabyte drive and I think 64 kilobytes of memory, which should have been more than enough for anyone, the world we know today was born. Not like there was never anything else. At that point in history, 15% of UK households had some sort of computer already, meaning these little gaming machines that you connected to a TV set. Do you remember?
Yes, I had one by Texas Instruments, I believe.
Yep, and that was the... I wasn't familiar with that. There was a thing here called the Timex TX-1000, which was a tiny little thing with grotty little rubber keys on it. And the IBM PC, when you bought that $1,500 unit, the best you could hope for was a green screen display, text-based graphics, which is boxy graphics and no actual graphical user interface. I think the original that they released came with IBM PC DOS 2.0 or something, which incidentally still runs on modern machines. If you feel a pang of nostalgia and you want to load up IBM PC DOS 2.0, it'll still work on your Pentium 4 or whatever.
Okay.
That's it, silver anniversary of that. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
And what else have we got? Oh, I read about a curious thing which will be very annoying to your bank and so forth. As you know, you can sign up on your bank site by using your username and the password, or perhaps a PIN number and the last four digits of your social security, blah, 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 blah. This has been subject to a lot of phishing, as we know, which is emails coming out purportedly from your bank, resulting in you accidentally signing up with a site that looks like your bank and giving away your information. So the banks are not happy. So they issue these things called either smart cards or one-time key password units. And people that have corporate internet accounts typically can't afford the, I think it's $49 to get this little keychain device. And what you do is you go to the website and you press the button to turn the power on this unit, and it gives you a one-time pass number that changes every, I don't know, 60 seconds or 2 minutes. So the credit card companies and banks are now starting to issue those things because it's got a one-time password that's valid only for a minute or 2 minutes, assuming that therefore, by so doing, the account can't be subverted by a third party that's phishing. So you get a phishing email, and it brings you to what looks like your bank site, and it brings up what looks like a username and a password field. Now the dirty business starts. It turns out that some Russian organized crime syndicates have figured out a way around this one, which is they hook on to the destination site, send you the phishing mail, you become convinced that because you've got this smart card unit that will give you a one-time serial number that's good for a minute or 2 minutes, that therefore you're safe. What the phishing site does, which is the spoof site, is it immediately takes the data and immediately hands it on to the correct site and logs you in, while alerting with instant messenger your Russian organized crime syndicate, so it provides them a valid login at the same instant as they log you out. So they just hijacked your login. And the point has been reached where the banks are saying, oh, it's not a valid threat. But on the other hand, they won't disclose how many times this has happened. So if you're one of those people out there that whose bank or credit card company or corporate account has issued you one of those electronic devices issued by RSA, they ain't as safe as you think. Maintain your vigilance and still look up in the URL line, and if possible, type it in yourself. And basically, responding to those emails is not a good idea.
I don't know if you actually even got this email. It was one that was sent to zen@kvmr.org, which is a valid place where you can find us and write to us and ask us any questions. But I got an update, Citibank update, account suspended, we recently have discovered. And sure enough, it says to continue, click here. And if you hover your mouse over that blue click here and you look down below, it says http://dskev.de.
In Germany somewhere.
City. And then if where it even says, and you look at it on the screen in blue, in the email it says www.citibank.com/update. You hover your mouse over that, and sure enough, you look down there, and it is that place in Germany again.
Somewhere else.
So you never, ever want to click on a link in an email, even if you think you know it's from your bank. Always go up to the URL line, type in Citibank or Bank of America or Wells Fargo, and do it all from there.
Yeah, sure. So the warning here is that the bank will create a false sense of security in delivering you this key device, which is actually no kind of security whatsoever. And the fishers love it because they know there's now a bunch of people breathing a sigh of relief going, oh, well, that's the phishing threat over. Well, it ain't. So watch out for that one.
Most definitely.
While we're here, let's point out that, as we've mentioned before, We both love the Thunderbird email program.
I don't necessarily love it. I don't use it that much. I tend to like my email living on the internet.
So you're tending to use web-based systems.
Yes. Yeah. And even with web-based system, i.e. Gmail, I can right now actually I can open up Thunderbird and it'll coordinate. And I do like the fact that, okay, I'm opening Thunderbird and it says you've got 379 emails to download. And that's because I haven't updated Thunderbird or turned it on for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But it will coordinate and look exactly like my Gmail. So
right.
I don't have to worry about, maybe I get some on one system and some on the other. They both remain equal.
Right.
That's how I have it set up.
What we're talking about here is the fact that Gmail is one of the few free web-based email systems that does allow you to use a conventional email program like Thunderbird to pick them up. If you pay Yahoo some $19 a year, they will allow you to do the same thing. With Gmail, it's completely free. And you might go, well, you know, what's $19? But as Glenn said, the integration between the web-based system and the client, your computer-based email system, the integration is very, very good. So you can use both without any sort of hiccups between the two.
Right. And not to bash the folks up in Redbum.
Washing Grunt.
I have recently tried to convert Outlook Express Mail over to Outlook Express Mail on a new computer. Couldn't do it.
Nightmare.
You know, I spent probably a good hour on the phone with you
mm-hmm.
while you were on vacation. Thank you very much for, for talking with me about that.
I was wandering around Yosemite at the time, I think.
Yeah, and it wasn't working. So finally, Paul said, okay, well, let's use Thunderbird and have Thunderbird go to Outlook Express and get the mail. So we did that. And then we were trying to figure out a way to get it sent from Thunderbird back to Outlook Express on the new computer. And Paul said in the meantime, oh, just have him use Thunderbird. And I said, okay, you're going to use Thunderbird. And he said, okay. And I think it's been working great ever since.
So, well, you haven't heard, so no news is good news. Let's go back to Thunderbird briefly. Those of you out there that have got Thunderbird, there's no good reason not to get the latest, which is now version 1.5.0.6 or something like that. And for the Mac users, it's slightly different. And when you're there, if you've got the latest version, do please go up to Tools and click on the item that says Junk Mail Controls. It's not turned on by default because you have to be aware of what the Junk Mail Controller does. And these are very, very powerful Junk Mail Controls. If you do as I've said and you go up in Thunderbird to Tools and Junk Mail Controls and you don't understand what it says, then you don't have to do anything. What it will do, if you follow the links there, is it will create for you a junk mail folder into which it will filter things if you ask it to trust junk mail headers sent by a program called Spam Assassin, which is a program that runs on most internet service providers that heuristically figures out what's likely to be junk or not. So it never discards emails. It simply sets them aside in a folder called junk mail, which allows you to concentrate on the important stuff and then cruise through stuff that appears to be junk. It has a training mode, so as time goes by, the junk mailing filtering tends to get more and more reliable. So, yeah, do check out the junk mail filtering controls. If you don't see it, your version of Thunderbird's too old and should be updated. No reason not to do that.
Okay. And we have 5 phone calls.
Oops,
waiting.
Sorry.
So let's see if we can get to the phones here. And I'm going to push next. And that got it. Hi, caller. You're live on the air. Welcome.
Hi.
It's you.
I'm on my cell phone driving down lovely I-80, and it's very blocked up right now.
Oh.
Wonderful road work. Anyway, okay, now that I'm in the traffic jam, how do I get you on FM up in Reno, where I live?
You can't. In the Truckee, Tahoe, Donner area, we're broadcast on 105.1 FM.
I know.
And you can maybe try that, but our signal can't go through the mountain, unfortunately. And so the only way you can get us would be on the internet. At KVMR.org.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have 2 computers going with you guys most of the time.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Are you using our high-speed link for listening to us on the
that's
computer?
That's the best way.
Good.
Oh, it sounds good up there, right?
Oh, it sounds great.
Well, it's worth moving the mountain. If you can find a way of moving the mountain that divides Truckee from the Reno Basin, that would probably make it work.
You know, if
we could put a transmitter up on the top of T-Vine.
T-Vine, or is that near Mount Rose? Isn't that about the tallest one up there? There's a better one?
No, Peavine is the northwest Reno area.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Where the fire was.
Oh, okay. I see it over by Verdi.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, you know the stuff there. Yeah, I know where that is, yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in, and I'm sorry you can't get us in your car stereo up there.
Oh, that's all right. No
okay.
problem.
Take care and enjoy the traffic.
Take care.
Breathe lightly.
Yes,
bye-bye
yes.
now.
Bye.
And we'll take our next caller. Hi, caller. You're live on the air. Welcome.
It's you.
Hello, you need to say hi to us.
Hello, is it me?
That's you.
All right. I got interested in the previous call about wireless internet in the foothills.
Yes.
I was recently approached by a company called PulseXNet. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I've vaguely heard of it, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's a new small company, I suppose, and I happen to live on the top of a hill over in Dutch Flat, and he's expressed an interest in putting one of those antennas on the top of a tree on my property.
Sounds perfect.
My question is, should I be concerned about, he wants me to agree to have it up there for 10 years. I don't know that it bothers me all that much, but I'm wondering if it'll get in the way if I sell the house.
I believe you'd need to talk to the county, but I think what you'd do would be grant him an easement for that period of time. And it would be fair to negotiate not only, I would say, free internet at the very least, but a fee, because I am going to guess he's going to be using your electricity. And I hope the Colfax Net isn't listening and thinking, damn that Glenn for giving this information out. But if you feel that just the free internet is enough of a benefit, assuming he's offering that, then that's fine also. But you might want to check with the county and find out I'm not sure what department you want to go into, this assessor's office or the records office, and find out about how to modify your deed to include that easement.
And there's also the fact that obviously if you do sell the house, the next owner may not appreciate the fact that he's getting the house with a tree with an antenna in it that he doesn't want.
Well, that's the whole thing with the easement, and that sort of guarantees the person putting the equipment in who's asking for this 10-year guarantee, and it gets sold with the house. So if you make that agreement with him, you need to also acknowledge that you're making that agreement for future owners of the home.
I would say give it a provisional 3 to 6 months to see how you like it.
I'm not sure if he wants to give it
it's a big expense to go put it in and all that for that fellow.
It's understandable why, because if he's got 20 clients hanging off this and you shut it down, they're gone, which is, I can understand that.
So I would also say, you know, who else have you done this with? Let me talk to them and see what their experience has been. And as far as we know from this one person that we know here from the radio station, she's not been unhappy with the free internet that she's getting. And it's really a little box hanging off the back of her porch.
This situation for this caller is different. If it's up a tree, the odds are pretty high that Colfax Net will periodically need to come out and trim things as the tree grows. In the case of our friend, it's on the top of a house, which stays put. So you'd need to be willing to accept that the person might need access at almost any time to go and fix any problems.
Well, that's why he likes my property, because I do have good access for him. I am a little concerned about topping the tree, but it sounds like he does a pretty good job of, you know, caring for the tree.
You may want to allow for that in the contract, that if he damages the tree, then he's responsible. And, you know, seek monetary, you know, set a monetary value for that.
Yeah, 10 years is a long time, especially on the internet. It's like dog years. That's like 70 of anyone else's years.
Yeah, because by then, who knows, we may all be on, you know, little satellites that broadcast directly into our brains, and we'll have screens implanted into our eyes.
You mean it's not already like that, Glenn?
Instead of cataract surgery, we'll have internet surgery.
Interesting situation, caller, and that's nice to think that Alta can get wireless internet up there, because it's about, what, 12 miles to Colfax from where you are?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, that would be the reason. So, interesting. Will you keep us posted with how it goes?
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Sounds like he needs to call a legal advisor, though, about this kind of stuff.
Potentially somebody, you know, maybe dealing with property issues, a real estate agent, the person that sold him the home.
Yep.
So we have another caller. Our phones are being real busy today. Caller, you're live on the air at KVMR at 1:34 in the afternoon. Hi.
Is that this call?
That's you.
Well, goodness, there's no beep, Glenn, but other than that, it's working just fine.
Did our voices elevate any?
Nope. No voice elevation, but the auto answer was fabulous.
Oh, this is Mikhail.
Yes, it is.
I recognize him.
So you're paying attention, so.
Yes, and the internet surgery is an interesting thought. We could do electronic cat minding as well, I guess.
Yes.
We started that last week. I got several emails, by the way, Paul, from the Good News Show about we should do a KVMR cat show.
There's a lot of cat lovers up here, and that includes you.
Yeah, it is.
And so, it did include me until our cat Peaches passed away 18 months ago.
So I'm calling a couple of things. One, to let listeners know, buy.com, a place that the three of us frequent occasionally, has a great deal today for $29.95 on Memorex 2-gig USB flash drives.
Ooh, wow.
For $29, folks, you can pick up a 2-gigabyte little USB drive that fits in your pocket, you know, on a keychain. And that's about the best deal I've seen on a 2-gigger so far.
You said how much?
$29.95.
$29.95, okay.
And it's the Memorex, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Right. Is it the little one that has kind of the protection on it?
This one, I don't believe, I didn't notice that it had protection on this
okay.
one.
Okay. And I'm talking about physical protection. Mine comes in a little plastic sort
of
almost waterproof case.
Well, this has got it's got a little keychain hook on it.
Uh-huh.
Kind of round in the middle with the Memorex logo, and then it's got a little tag on the end where you pull the cover off.
Okay.
These are wonderful. These USB flash drives, they're great.
Yeah, $29.99. Normally it's $179.99.
That sounds like a great deal.
And
they're invaluable. They really
are.
Yeah,
let me add another thing. That's got free shipping as well.
Oh, that's another bonus. And that's today only?
It is $29.99, so that's it.
Okay.
Excellent.
So what I called about, though, is an interesting one because normally I'm helping out figuring this stuff out, but today I've been having an issue that occurred to me when Glenn and I did the show a couple of weeks ago. We had a caller who Glenn called me about having FTP problems.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm having the same issues. And now, just of course, when I called up to waiting online for you guys,
you're trying it,
right? It's working perfect, of course, because the gurus are on the phone. But I'm curious for other listeners, because I'm sure if I'm having this problem, the person that called us a couple of weeks ago had this problem, other people must be as well. And I'm wondering, Paul, since you were the missing link when Glenn and I were doing the show, any thoughts? I checked Firewall. It's not a Firewall issue. I called Comcast, which is my provider. They have nothing to say, and unfortunately, I think I got a fairly nice guy, but a bit incompetent as far as understanding what was really going on. But it just seems like there are times where I try to log into my server and it will not go. The next time I try it and it's like about a second and a half and I'm there.
Okay, there's a couple of possible reasons for this.
Two more equations in there. The caller from the last show was on dial-up as opposed to yeah. High-speed internet. And you're both going to the same place, iPowerWeb.com.
That's right. I've talked to both iPower and Comcast, and neither iPower says, well, I can get in just fine checking it here using my info, and of course they can. So then I'm just at a loss, and then all of a sudden it'll start working.
Okay, there's two possible reasons for this, and the most likely possible reason is that I know this happens with SBC/AT&T/whoever the heck they are today. And that is that most internet service providers will deliver you at what they call an IP number, a unique address on the internet,
sure.
of which you get just one. And that IP number is supposed to have what they call a reverse lookup. So if you look up who 206.171.54.22 belongs to, then the internet will come back with a reverse DNS and say that belongs to IP something da 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 dot nccn.net or whatever it is. If that reverse lookup doesn't work, a lot of FTP servers won't let you in.
Uh-huh.
Here's how you find out if it's working. You can try it right now. It's real easy. First thing you need to do is find out your IP address. You go to the website checkip.dynedns.org. Did you get that?
IP.
Check IP.
Check out. Check IP.
In one word, on a web browser, checkip.dynedns.org. And it says, your IP address is blah, 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 blah.
Okay, current. I've got my current IP.
You got your current IP address. Okay, copy it to the clipboard.
Got it.
You're in Windows or a Mac?
I'm on the Mac at the moment.
Okay, go to a terminal.
Terminal, just a sec.
And in the Windows world, working in parallel, we would go to a command prompt.
Oh, just a sec. I'm usually not working in a terminal, but I'm in terminal now, so...
Now, in terminal, which in the Windows world is what they call a command prompt, you type the command, which works both on a Mac and a PC, nslookup.
Nslookup.
And it's one word. Oh. Name server lookup is one word. Nslookup.
Right.
And paste the address in there.
Got it.
And hit enter.
Command not found on mine.
Oh, excuse me, my mistake. Type in nslookup and hit enter.
That's what I thought. Okay, and now I'll type in the...
Now it comes up with a little arrow prompt, which is the same in the Windows world.
Okay, I get basically, let's see, I get the server address here locally, server and address, then I get a non-authoritative answer.
That's fine.
And
does it come up with something.comcast.net in your
yes,
case?
Yes, it does.
What that's telling you is that there is a reverse lookup that tells the internet that you are an IP number that belongs to Comcast.
Okay.
Sometimes the reverse DNS server is so busy it can't answer, and the FTP server goes, well, we don't have, a caller ID for that IP address, and it will not let you in.
Fair enough.
In a lot of cases. So next time you get this failure, try this command.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that can happen is, what do you use for FTP, Mikhail?
Oh, I'm using, I've tried everything, but
yeah.
I'm using on the Mac at the moment, I use something called, Transmit, And on the PC, I use Smart FTP.
Okay, I'm not familiar with those, but there's a setting in just about any FTP program I've ever seen which says use passive mode.
Yep, yep.
Does that help?
You know, I've tried it, and it helps sometimes, but when it doesn't want to work, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so...
That's the part that confuses me, because what iPower says is don't use passive mode, which, of course, I use, and it works just fine. And I've tried it both ways. At the moment, like, you know, it's just something that started recently in the last month or two, mm-hmm. and it only seems to happen with the iPower stuff, but then again... I did, now that you mentioned the reverse lookup, that rings a bell because a while back, my server actually got flagged and was thrown into the,
Black hole?
Yeah. And it was some problem with the reverse lookup not existing.
Yeah, now if the IPO number, if the IP on the internet that you're connecting from doesn't have a reverse lookup, it usually is a warning to electronic mail servers out there that things are not as they should be, and FTP servers can be configured to ignore it, but at their peril.
Right.
And so it can be a transient problem that will go away and come back and go away and come back. This is the only fairly reliable way you have of doing it is using the NSLOOKUP command. Windows and Mac users can use the NSLOOKUP command. The other command you can use is traceroute, but it's probably not what the issue is.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. And this... Yeah. This would sort of make sense to me. It's just that I don't understand why that would disappear from the Comcast situation at times and then be there at others. But now that I know this, the next time this happens, I'll check to see if I'm getting that actual reverse lookup okay or not.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's a little more techie than probably most people need, but it could be of use nonetheless.
I'm writing notes, so I'm confused.
Oh, my.
So for the fact that we're going into run command prompt and typing in NSLOOKUP, and it comes back, and yours said Comcast, mine says SBC Global.
Yeah.
What value is that? Now what do we do?
It tells you that reverse name lookup is working. If you got something back that says cannot resolve IP number,
uh-huh.
it means reverse lookup is not working, and FTP
that may
will probably
be
unhappy.
Your FTP won't work.
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what the error message is, but it will be something along the lines of, we don't know who the heck it is.
Yeah.
And it's not that useful, that information. It can be so-called spoofed, but it's fairly tricky to do it.
Well, it's good useful now in the sense that at least the next time this happens, where like this morning I couldn't get in to change a site, and it was driving me mad, and so I just left and went and did some yoga. And I came back, and now it works fine.
Well, the answer is, folks, if you're listening, do some yoga like Mikhail did, and then it'll work.
Hey, before I let you go to the next caller, Glenn, do you think it's relevant to let people know about these great deals on the twofer at Costco on the DVDs?
Actually, it's over.
Oh, well,
no.
It was a great twofer.
Yeah, it was. They had DVD printables, $39.99 for 100-pack, 2-for-1.
Yeah.
So
Mikhail
was able
to get them. When I got ours, I'm really happy with them, yeah. too.
These are the printable ones, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent, yeah.
Yeah.
Get on to the next call, guys. Have a great one.
Okay, thanks, Mikhail.
Oh, and before I forget, I did send Mikhail a link and several of us as well, which is we've been asked in the past who's got a good source of off-lease and refurbished laptops and desktops, and I found... a company in Henderson, Nevada, thanks to Bruce Dern, that is computer-show.com. That's computer-show.com, and they have refurbished Dell Optiplex servers and who knows what, $200-$300, something like that. I think they have a 90-day warranty. And as usual, buyer beware, but seems like a deal to me.
Would you repeat that again?
Yeah. Computer-show.com.
Okay.
That brings up an interesting one for me. It comes up with just, here are a bunch of related websites for computer-show.com.
Yeah, that's what I got, too, when you sent me the
really?
Link, Paul.
Okay,
yeah,
let me just
try. Because I was trying to figure out what you were talking about when you sent me that link.
Well, I'm often talking rubbish, but it worked for me.
You sure it's not computer_show?
No, it's dash, because in domain names, the only punctuation you're allowed is a dash.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Let me just check it out. I could be fully you-know-what.
Or is it S-H-O or S-H-O-W?
Computer-show.com.
Try that. That gets it, Glenn.
Oh,
that's it, yeah. What were we typing in instead? What was
we
the mistake?
We were both typing in SHO.
I had okay. No, I had show. Okay. So you know, I did get
brain.
To this website.
Yeah.
I guess I was just confused. But
right,
and I'm going to say prices on laptops have come down, folks. So look for a new laptop in your area, and especially with Labor Day coming up. With school specials and stuff like that.
CompUSA
the other day.
Actually, for $7.99, it was the HP with the remote, the webcam, everything built in. I was amazed at that price.
That's huge.
Yeah. That was just last Action TV. So everything was just basically like what I spent $2,800 for on a Mac, only it was a PC for $7.99.
So. That's a bit of a floppy.
We'll leave that to be.
I've got to tell you what's going on here. The host of the next show, Jimmy Accardi. This is not television, and we
thank God.
Yeah, we thank the FCC for not looking at what we're doing here. Enough said. You know who it is, and you know what he gets up to.
Mikhail, thanks for calling. I think I'm going to click next, and I'm going to say, "Hi, Lou. You're live on the air. Am I right?"
Hello.
No, I'm not. You're not Lou. What's your name?
It's Ellen.
Ellen, how are you?
I'm doing well, Glenn. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good. Listen, you were talking about Thunderbird and a few minutes ago, and I have a question. I was using Thunderbird for my email and then switched over to DSL, where I'm on SBC Global, and I'm also getting the Yahoo. I'm getting it through Yahoo Webmail.
Right.
And the problem I'm having is when I wanted to go online and send an email, like there's a link to say, send, you know, contact us.
Right.
It comes up with the Thunderbird, and I can't use that because I don't have that email anymore. So how do I change my browser so that I can use my Yahoo email?
Let's ask the question in a different way. How can we change Thunderbird to meet your needs? So what we want to do is go into Thunderbird and use your new email account, ellen@sbcglobal.net,
okay,
and have it not check your mail, but when you want to send mail, it can send mail from there. Now, bear in mind that when you send mail from this account, it's not going to show up when you go into your sent folder when you're on the Yahoo page.
Okay.
And that's probably not that critical, and you probably aren't going to do this very often. But I would say configure your sbcglobal.net email address into Thunderbird. Thunderbird check your email for you, because you want to continue to do it on Yahoo, which had I talked to you about this before, I would have recommended not even going to the @sbcglobal.net, because you might at some point change again and go to Comcast or go back to satellite. But that being me getting off my high horse on that one, what you would do in Thunderbird is you would go to Tools, Account Settings, and there under, you should have whatever your old setting was, which was Ellen at Direct Way or something.
Yeah.
And you would want to edit that and change it. And so you would change that information. And I would say give me or Paul a call after the show, because I'm not sure right off the bat how to tell it not to check your mail. Because we don't want Thunderbird getting your mail. We only want it to be able to send mail.
Right. And it looks for an STMP address,
right,
and that's my problem.
Yeah, and we can get that for you. That'll be something like
smtpauth.sbcglobal.net. The bottom line answer, Ellen, is that Windows doesn't have a way of knowing that you deal with emails through a web page, unless it's Hotmail, which it isn't. So there's no way when you click a link it'll do what you're after, even if you wanted to.
Okay.
Which is simply, it should bring up a web page with your email program in SBC Global, whatever, and do that, but it can't.
Yes.
Okay.
And so this is a way around it for the rare occasion when you would do that, when you would click a link in a web page saying, I want to send an email to you.
Bottom line is, if you like Thunderbird, you can switch it over and make it do everything for you.
Yes, if you want to.
Yeah, but I like having my mail on the web. I really like that.
Okay, so we'll give you the answer after the show, and we'll put it up on the site, zen.kvmr.org, right, Glenn?
Yes.
Great. I'll give you a call. I got your number.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Now I'm going to click next and say, hi, Lou, you're live on the air. How are you?
Am I?
You are.
All right.
This is my brother. I've been chatting with him via MSN Messenger in the background here while we're talking.
Oh, excellent. Hi, Lou.
How you doing, Paul?
Good.
I got a quick question for you, not to take up your time, but I'm trying to use DVD shrink and copy the version of the Bible on DVD so I can use it in two different DVD drives, one in the front room and one in the bedroom or whatever, without having to switch the disc around. And in trying to copy it, the New Testament, there's two DVDs. It copied well and with ease with the DVD shrink. And then when I tried to put the Old Testament on there, it says not enough room on the disc. And I'm using 4 gig
Your copying to a 4-gig disk.
Right.
Now, that's funny, because we all know, well, some of us know that the New Testament is much smaller than the Old Testament. There's a difference of like 4 to 1. Considerable difference. So what happens is, what Lou's talking about is a piece of software that compresses and, strangely enough, decrypts the data that's on movie discs and is able to squish them down off a 9-gig onto a 4.2-gig disk. And it says, regardless of the attempt to shrink it, that there isn't enough room, right?
That's what it says. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't always work, and the way I found, that Glenn and I found to deal with it, is that DVD shrink will do most of the work for you. It'll decrypt the movie, and it'll then try to compress the video content down so that it will fit in a 4.2-gig drive. And as I mentioned to Glenn, it sometimes fails, and you have to then use software made by a company called Nero in order to transcode it, which is the technical term meaning to fit it properly.
And what's happening is, most likely DVD shrink has accomplished the first task, and that is it shrunk everything and put it into a folder that you've designated in process. And then it says, now the DVD that you're trying to write to is too small.
Right.
And so go ahead and say, okay, and then we'll need to navigate to that folder using Nero and select all the files and then put them onto a DVD. And again, now that you say it out in words, I understand better what's happening. And I'm actually getting the same error on every DVD that I'm trying to shrink and copy over to a backup disk.
So I'm thinking there might be
something wrong with DVD shrink, because I'm getting that error on my laptop and on my desktop.
That's correct. This is the show in which you hear people's melodious cell phones going off. That's what's going on in my case. Whoever is calling me, I'm sorry, it ain't going to work. Not till like 2. So, Lou, actually, the answer is to get a copy of Nero 6 from Nero.com.
He already actually has that.
So I have Nero, and I use Nero to transfer the files to the DVD.
Right.
And it's... still says there's not enough room on the disk to copy it.
Okay.
So
I need
a larger DVD disk, like a 9-gig, so it will fit?
You could do that. You could just do a direct copy, assuming it's not copy protected, and make a backup that way. And as I was telling you, for the DVDs that I got you were probably 25, 30 cents a piece, and that's the 4.7-gig
right.
DVD. If you want the 9.2-gig, which is considered 9.4-gig, dual layer, they're about $2 a piece. So quite a cost difference there.
And what's also true, Lou, is that you don't actually need DVD shrink. Its specific purpose is to get a disc that's too big onto a disc half its size, which is from the 9-plus gigs down to the 4-plus by shrinking
right.
it in half. So
right.
if you do have a 9-gig burner and disks, then you don't need to shrink it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Okay.
And just one real quick question. The caller I heard when I was waiting on the phone said that those zip drives or the USB
right.
memory deals for $29.
Yes.
You've got that information. Can you latch on to one of those for me?
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Take care, Lou.
Bye-bye. And you know, we have 5 other phone calls, and we're ending up towards the end of the hour. Let's take one more call, and then we'll do our underwriters, and then we can maybe take a call or two after that. Caller, you're live on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
It's me?
That's you.
Oh, good.
We need you to speak up, please.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. I just bought a new computer, Hewlett Packard Pavilion. I'm not really that used to it's supposedly a multimedia computer.
Okay.
And what comes up when I turn it on is things that I don't really want, like American Online.
All right.
And I tried going to run and hitting misconfig.
Oh,
okay. I'm gonna head you off at the pass, and that's probably not the right place to go.
Doesn't seem to be.
What you'll want to do is you'll want to go to your control panel, and under the option Add and Remove Programs,
right.
And in there you're going to want to remove AOL Free Trial. You're going to want to remove something that says Internet Option, not Internet Options. It'll say Internet Providers. Anything that looks like a commercial, and a lot of that stuff is. If it says HP in the front of it, like HP Games, HP this, HP that, don't remove those. But the obvious ones like AOL, and I've just configured a couple of new Compaq and HP computers and went through and did most of that. So I'm trying to think. If you need help when you're in that ad remove program thing, I would invite you to call me at 265-9073, probably about 2:30, 2:45, and I can walk you through some of the things to remove, and then we can clean up the desktop also.
Some of them are clear. Some of them should not be removed if you're not certain about
exactly.
them. America Online's real clear.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's the curious thing, because I followed the directions that you mentioned prior to my calling, and what I've discovered is that it won't let me remove AOL. When I do that, then it gives me every time I turn the machine on, it gives me a message. I don't have it written down, but in other words, it's not like a smooth thing.
Okay.
And I go and I look at the programs that I thought are removed, and they're back in.
Oh.
Okay. We'll have to take a look at that. If you can give us a call after the show, as I said, probably about 2:45. We have some things business we have to take care of first. And I can't commit to Paul, but I can talk to you about it, and hopefully we'll help. And we need to let you go, caller. Thank you so much for calling in.
Can I have a quick thingy here?
Oh, sure, Paul.
We've got a few minutes left to go. Alex Brewer in the United Kingdom, that was who was calling me, knowing that it would come through on the air, and he said it was worth the call just to hear the cell phone go off on the air from 4,500 miles away. And he sent a text message that came through at 1:54 p.m. on my cell phone, which is what that singing and dance was. This is the one show where all this stuff's allowed.
Yes.
It's not a mistake. It's just to prove the technology. So
exactly.
Alex and Jan and Katie and Poppy and Tim and Sophie, wonderful to know you've been hearing what's been going on here from 4,000+ miles away. And we'll have it up at zen.kvmr.org/archive. We're putting podcasts up there.
Yes.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for contacting Paul that way, honestly. And everybody over there, including all the kids. Hey, from California, you know now where we are.
And what we
look like, too, and what we are. Yes, that's all the fruits and nuts over here in California.
That would be them.
Let's take a moment and thank the folks who helped to underwrite programming here at KVMR. And among all of you, they also include these business underwriters. Ohmsoft Technologies, providing local internet solutions for home and office from Sacramento to Truckee, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or ohmsoft.com. Ohmsoft, the enlightened internet solution. And if you'll take care of the one there about Coopers, I would appreciate it.
And finally, as an underwriter, in part, Cooper's Nevada City presenting a night of Hawaiian music tonight featuring George Kuo, Martin Painui, and Aaron Mahi. Wednesday, it's Americana Rock and Folk with Hayfax and the Chili Billies. That's Cooper's at 235 Commercial Street and coopersnevadacity.com, done in the Brian Lee style. It's been our pleasure to be here. It's a couple of minutes to the 2 o'clock hour. Jimmy Carter will be marching in here and blasting your ears out for the next couple of hours. The rock and roll party will go out with Brian Eno. Our website, which will contain today's notes, is zen.kvmr.org, and our email is zen@kvmr.org. Thanks for being with us.
Be back in a fortnight.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.